You're listening to the one show that blazes new trails every time it's on the air. The only show that helps you wander through the wilderness of 21st century sales. It's time for The Pilgrim on the 405. With your own personal guide through this strange new world, sales trainer extraordinaire, Will Crist. So without further ado, here's Will.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405 on this cool, sometimes wet afternoon in Southern California. Now, one of the things I've been looking for over the past couple of weeks is I've been looking for how people are doing customer service. The question that keeps coming up is how are people maintaining their current customer base? Because remember, our current customers in this kind of economy are our competitors' best targets. So paying attention to how we take care of our current customers, how we welcome new customers on board, how we solve problems, what kind of support, what kind of ongoing attention we pay to them, how we stay in touch with them over the long transaction, not just the immediate transaction, how we build that relationship over a long period of time. Those kind of strategies are particularly important to me. I know that as a sales trainer and a Salesforce developer, I'm always interested in how we increase revenue, what kinds of attitudes, behaviors, and techniques lead to increasing revenue, bringing new people on board, how we help our salespeople do the behaviors that are going to generate new revenue in this marketplace where it's increasingly difficult to find those new customers. As the marketplace shrinks, as people make other choices, move in different directions, find new opportunities and leave us behind because we are their old suppliers and maybe not supplying what they need to move in the new direction that they're choosing to take their company. Difficult to bring on new customers. It's certainly important with salespeople helping them to have the right attitudes, behaviors, and beliefs to bring on those new customers. But for a while, I want to pay attention to what is essentially the fourth question that we generally ask companies. What are you doing to maintain your current customer base? Now, a couple of ways of talking about that. One is customer support, customer service. You could also talk about it as frontline employees because, you know, when you think about it, it's not just those people who answer the phone as customer support people who are tasked with the responsibility to maintain that relationship. It's every single frontline employee who ever has contact with one of our current customers. And as we know from branding studies and experts in branding, branding doesn't mean just the logo. And it doesn't just mean the experience that people have in the media with our brand. Our brand is the total customer experience with our solution, with our company, with the experience that they have with every single member of our company. That's our brand. So we strengthen our brand by strengthening the people who work with, meet with, talk with, solve problems for those customers that we have on an ongoing basis. I'm really curious as to how we are developing customer support people in this marketplace that has this electronic overlay, which changes dramatically the way we communicate with people. Much more email instead of paper communication. Telephone calls are difficult because of the predominance of voicemail. On the other hand, because people have cell phones, they are available not 24/7, but it certainly seems like it. Now, when we think about providing customer support, we're talking about people who have a carefully honed understanding of human relationships. They are skilled in communication with people of variety, of varying types. They know the difference between an auditory, they know the difference between an auditory person, a visual person, and a kinesthetic person. And I'm wondering how we are developing those folks in this world. I'm wondering how we take people who come in predominantly spending enormous amounts of time in front of televisions or in front of computers, how we bring them on board and develop them into strong support people, strong advocates for our customers. So I've been spending some time listening and talking to people. And I've been finding some interesting answers to the questions I've been asking. What do you do to find people for customer support? Is this merely the entrance way into your organization? Or are you placing customer support people, frontline employees, at the top of your list of people in importance in retaining your customers? And what are we doing to help develop those people into better and better customer support people? Are we able to provide them feedback? Are we able to give them the kind of work that, the kind of help that they need, the kind of coaching? Are we able to provide them accountability in a way that they don't go not okay, that they stay okay and understand that this is a developmental process to become better? In the process of asking these questions and paying attention to customer service, I had some very interesting experiences with a local company that gave me such great customer service that I wanted to talk with them. I wanted to find out what they were doing. And so we're fortunate today to have a company that's been around for a couple of years. The management has been around for a significant period of time, but they are dedicated to helping their people become the best customer support people, the best frontline employees that they can have. So I want to welcome a couple of great guys today. Tim, are you there?
I am.
Well, welcome to the show. And Keith is with you?
Yes, he is. He's here.
Well, good. Tell us a little bit about Albright OC.
Well, Albright OC, we're a service company. We provide a number of services for both residential and commercial properties, mainly residential. We do carpet, upholstery, drapery cleaning. We do indoor air quality by way of cleaning out air ducting systems. We do just about anything you can do in a home that requires cleaning.
And you do this for commercial buildings as well?
We do, probably more on a contract janitorial basis, not as frequent as we do residential cleanings, but we do have some commercial contracts where we provide a number of janitorial services from vacuuming, dusting, emptying trash to windows, air duct cleaning, even some flooring installations and repairs depending on the situation.
Well, now Tim, for some people looking on, the service you're providing might be seen to be, you know, I mean, we're cleaning houses, we're cleaning air ducts. But tell me a little bit about how you see the role of your frontline employees in building this business.
The role? Well, I guess as far as the technicians, the guys in the field, their role really is to provide absolute customer service. I mean, we want to go in and not only provide a good service, but make the customer feel comfortable with what we're doing, educate them every step of the way. I mean, there's a lot of companies out there, several technicians, or, you know, I use that term loosely, but, you know, for lack of a better word, a lot of technicians just don't have the know-how, don't have the education it takes to really do an adequate job, and because the consumer, the customers out there have had this for a number of years, it's hard for them to compare. So we go into a home, we try to educate the customer, whether it be carpet cleaning, the type of fabric or fiber we may be cleaning, different types of areas in the carpet where there may be dye-based or oil-based stains, pet urine, and different treatments involved. and the ways they can kind of maintain their own carpets in between our process to, you know, kind of lighten the load and spend a little less for the carpet cleaner to be out so much. And in regard to air duct cleaning, there's so much more involved because it's not just a cleanliness issue or an efficiency issue, but a health issue as well. We try to educate them as to what they're doing and how to maintain their own system to better their health and efficiency in their home. So my guys aren't just technicians that just go out and do a quick job in and out and they leave. They really try to educate our customer and really provide a service beyond what they're used to. And we do that really by way of training, not only how to do the service properly with the most recent methods available for industry standards, but also how to treat people, how to greet our customers, how to act in someone's home, how you should dress, even down to the first impression. We really go into depth when training our people, not only how to do the service, but how to treat people in general, how to retain the customer, so that we're able to do them several times, through the course of our business relationship and apply several services, and of course, you know, get referrals and regenerated business. And that's about 85% of our business now is a referral basis and past customer generation. We only rely on about 15% new generation for our clientele base right now.
So talk to me a little bit about how you see competition. Do you see them having the kind of skills that you're training your people to have in terms of personal relationship and how they are helping the customer to understand what's happening?
You know, I've consulted for many years for several different companies. I've helped develop and start a lot of the procedures and processes that are in the industry today. And I can say that I know a lot of the companies that are out there. I think when everybody's searched for that mighty dollar, somewhere along the line, customer service kind of takes a back seat. And I think that they don't really realize that. They don't get a lot of feedback maybe from customers. Maybe the customer doesn't want the confrontation or, you know, they can let the spot go. They'll just wait till somebody comes out the next time or maybe the handprints that were left on a register in the air duct or maybe they weren't told about changing their filter, but the last two or three guys didn't tell them either. So I don't really see a lot of the companies out there as competition as far as the way we do our service. We provide a service. There's definitely competition out there because there's several other companies that provide the same service as we do. But I know once we get into a home, once we're able to provide a service for someone and give them the full experience of Albright, they should be our customer for life, and they should be definitely of the opinion to refer us to people, you know, in their family, their neighbors, their friends. So, you know, I don't really like to speak badly of other companies. I'm sure there's a lot of companies out there that are trying to do the same things we are, that are implementing, you know, special training with their personnel, whether it be in the office as well as in the field, to really, really try to provide a better service for the customer and educate them. And I'm sure there are. I don't know of many, but I'm in contact with a few. You know, I know for the most part, everyone obviously wants a happy customer, but whether or not they're able to achieve that, whether or not they're able to or willing to, you know, develop strategies to get that, I'm not sure. You know, I'm adamant about not only doing a good job for someone, but having them feel that way. And I think just due to the lack of education in the industry, and the customer really not being aware of what industry standards are or what they should have been getting all along. They just haven't, you know, they haven't really gotten that. But that's our goal. I mean, like I said, I'm adamant about really providing a good service and really having the customer feel that they got a good service. You know, it's good business. They're going to call you back. But more importantly, you know, it's ethical. And you feel good doing it. You know, you show some integrity, which is really not shown these days. It's not always just about the money. You know, we don't want to make all our money off of that one person, go out there and get a bunch of money, not do a good job, and who cares if they call us back. But, you know, provide a good service over a long period of time, make a customer yours for life. It's a good working relationship. It's better for business, and it certainly makes you feel better. You know, we'd rather sleep at night than eat at night around here at Albright. So,
Well, tell me what you do. Aside from the technical training, what kind of training do you give people? What is important for them to know and to be able to do as they come into contact with a customer?
A prime example is you're going into someone else's home. You're in their environment, a place where they feel comfortable. And a big thing that I think a lot of service workers neglect to do is really take care when they're in someone else's environment, when they're in somebody else's surrounding. Be careful when you're bringing in your equipment not to, ding or bang up somebody's furniture, whether, you may not think it's any big deal, but there's a lot of things, dirty hands, you get fingerprints on a lot of things. Really be aware of your surroundings and your environment. Be careful where you set things, and not only that, but really show the customer that you're happy to be there to provide the service, that you really are into your job. And most of my technicians, and I would say, I can't say all, but I would say at least 90% of them are really happy with what they do, and they're able to show that to the customer. Show them that you're happy, you're willing, and you're ready to do the job. Not show up with a lackadaisical attitude, just can't wait until your shift is over so you can go home, but really give them the impression that you're ready and willing and happy and pleased to be there to provide a good service for them. And that's a big part of it. That's as far as our technicians, really understanding your customer, understanding where they're coming from, understanding their budget. There's a lot of other services we're able to provide when we go into a home that they may not have discussed over the phone previously when they set up the appointment. And not everyone can afford to clean every room in their house or the sofa and have the air ducts and everything else done. And so the technicians really have to be aware of that and survey the situation and see what budget they're working with and kind of help cater to that as well. You never know what someone's dealing with in their own personal life or what they're going through when you walk in. You never know what type of attitude you may be dealing with. Always remain cordial and respectful. And, again, you're in someone else's home. So you have to it kind of goes back to, the customer's always right, but even more so. Hopefully by the end of the job, you'll have proved yourself as not only a reliable and good person but a good technician as well. And they'll want to use our services again. And as far as in the office, we have phone sales representatives who are also trained with the same type of mannerism to make people feel comfortable with us. Unfortunately, because not only the service industry but the telemarketing industry as well, 85% of it is just really went to pot. And it's really gotten a bad rap, and it's due to the fact that there's just been a lot of scandalous operations, whether it be over the phone or in the home. And so you really have to remember that, both as a technician and as a telemarketer or a sales rep, that you're dealing with people that are already skeptical, that have already probably been burned or at least know someone that has. And so you have to remember that. And when you go into the call, be very cordial and really you have to primarily sell yourself. Obviously our services are a necessity service, so they either need it or they don't. We're really not selling the service more than when we are ourselves. So that we are the other 15%. We are reliable. We do have integrity. We are ethical. We mean what we say. And we don't allow lying. Unfortunately, sometimes you get newer clients or newer phone reps that come in and they kind of give away the kitchen sink and everything underneath. But we stick to it. We don't make a lot on the job because they've offered more than what we're able to in the service what the service entails. We stick with that. We tell the technician, take care of these people. That's because we stand behind what we say over the phone, and they're trained to do so. They're trained to cater to the customer, make sure that everything they say is specific, and that the customer is fully aware of what they're getting into in each service, and that there are additional charges, additional services that they're made aware over the phone. We don't want to misrepresent ourselves or look as though we're a bait and switch type of company. Air duct cleaning is a prime example. Just to speak briefly on, there's several parts of an air duct system, and there's a lot of companies, whether they call on the phone or they send you a coupon, that will promise, they'll do everything under the sun for a certain amount, including everything, and it's just impossible to do that for the amount of money they're saying they'll do it for. our service, when we run a special over the phone, we include certain items within that service. We make sure we say that, but we also educate you on other issues that may come about when we do an inspection of your system, and that they're going to cost more money, so that you can anticipate that. If you're assuming that your home is older, you may have issues, and your budget isn't going to allow that, you're able to make a more educated decision and a better financial decision to say, hey, maybe I need to wait until I get ahead a little more. Or, you know what, that sounds good, and if I have any problems, I might have a little bit extra to take care of that. But it's important to us that the customer's aware of that before we get there, so that they feel comfortable, you know, and that they are aware. So, we don't like to shock anybody or just drop something on them at the end. We'd like to be fully up front. And unfortunately, not a lot of companies do that. And, problems arise. So that's pretty much what we do with our training and how we like to treat our customers and what we do to make sure that both our phone salespeople and our technicians are aware of the customer's feelings, their emotions, their attitudes, what they've been through in the past, just from experience and seeing it over the last couple of decades, make them fully aware of that so they know how to act and treat people, and on top of doing a really good job.
Well, tell me, Keith, what do you do? I'm curious about what do you do to train them about effective communication?
About communication, as far as with the customers,
right?
Yeah, it's pretty much. Just to be straightforward, cordial, offer the service in its entirety, and let people know what they're going to get. And make people aware of any possibilities during the service. One thing a lot of people hear is we give them the special price that we have that we're running and what's included, and people say, how can you guys make any money off that? And we tell them, straight up. What we do is we sell air ducts. We'll do abatements, replace air ducts, do air duct repairs, sanitization, and those things are extras. And I'll tell them every time I have a customer on the phone, I'll tell them what's going to be extra and what we can offer them. And it's just being straight up with people. People really appreciate that.
Being very straight with people. Not feeling like you have to pull the wool over their eyes or get them to do something that they wouldn't do otherwise if they knew more.
Absolutely.
Now, what do you tell your people? How do you teach them to deal with difficult people?
Just to be calm, relaxed, and we do back all of our work with 30-day money-back guarantee, whether it's carpet cleaning, whether it's air ducts, upholstery. And so if we come in contact with a customer that is unhappy with anything or, thought the technician was a really nice guy and didn't want to tell him, well, you missed a spot, and we end up talking to him on the phone, we'll tell him, take their number down, assess the situation, and what we do is what we call it's a right back. We call it a redo. We're going to send somebody right back out there the soonest availability we have. That would become priority, is to come out there and make sure the customer's happy. So it's pretty easy dealing with people that are unhappy. It's if there's any problem that arises, we'll just tell them, let's go ahead and set up an appointment. We'll have a technician come back out and redo the job or fix any problems. It's pretty much just whatever we have to do to make the customer happy. All in all, an unhappy customer is probably the worst thing you could have.
Okay. Tell me, are you finding it easy or difficult to hire good people?
It all depends. You really have to build people up, and it's very psychological as far as sales goes. You need to teach people the information, okay? You need to teach them to be their self mostly. And if people can really grasp the concept to be their self, and it goes down to morals too and their values, if they're good people, and, that shows through on the phone. What I do is I'm a marketing manager. I train all our telemarketers. I teach them how to talk to the customers. And some people can really grasp the concept, you know what I mean? And those people do well. And if the people, they really want to rise up and move forward with their life, we give them a vehicle to do so. And it's great. Some people, it's hard to make people want it, The people that want it, they do well. The people that don't, they come and they go.
Well, I can add to that a little bit, too, Right now, Keith pretty blessed with the people we have in our phone room. They're all pretty hungry, and they all want it. And the thing about telemarketing in general is it's somewhat difficult. You're going to hear no a lot more than you are yes. So generally, the best people that are on the phone are people that have been through trials and tribulations in their lives, people who have had a little harder life than the average person, so they'll have a little tougher skin. They're able to deal with rejection a little easier. And generally, when you find those people, they are a tad hungrier than the rest of us because they've had a little harder life, and they believe in the American dream. They want to get ahead. And when we give them the opportunity and put them in a secure and safe environment, one that's real happy and friendly and energetic, they tend to excel. You know, in the field, on the other hand, which is my primary department right now, it's a little more difficult, at least now. It wasn't so much, a decade and even two decades ago, but more recently I find it a little more difficult to hire responsible people. You either get the younger generation that is still being catered to by a family member or a significant other, where their determination, their motivation isn't really there like it should be. They're not as hungry, they're not as driven. Or you get someone that is of an older generation who has already kind of, life's already chewed them up and spit them out somewhat, and so they're a little more burnt out. And really what I've ended up with as far as my good technicians is that in-between crowd. But it's a little more difficult. I'd say probably I get two or three really good people out of between 30 and 40 people that I interview. And that's significant. It's quite a lot. But, that's really what it is now. It's just, it is that way with the service techs. And, I guess I'm a little bit more, I have a lot of morals and integrity when it comes to the field and treating people, too. In the phone room, it's a little easier to hire than it is the field because you have people going into people's homes. So you're going to get people that, unfortunately, they don't look the part, they don't act the part, they don't dress the part right off the bat. But then once you're left with a significant group that you think should be able to hack it and they get started and they go out there, it just, they seem to peter out. They just seem to not have that extra motivation, that drive that it takes in the industry to be successful, unfortunately.
So what I'm hearing is you're getting out of the people you interview 10 to 15%.
About that, yeah. For really the people that should be, it should be the other way around, in my opinion, especially in this economy. I think that this economy with so many people, from what statistics say, that are out of work, that you would get even a higher caliber of person. And, it may be due to the fact that I am not used to this type of economy either, at least in this industry I'm not. And it could be, maybe just due to what I'm requesting in my advertisement, what I'm looking for. It used to be pretty simple. I could run a general labor ad and get lined up out the door. I could run a carpet cleaning ad and get several skilled professional technicians or vice versa with the air ducts. But now, right now, the way I'm doing it that I find is working, at least more effectively as recently, is just running an open general labor ad, guaranteeing a certain amount with full training available, both in the office with theory and lab testing, and then, of course, field training, and doing adequate training, getting certified by the licensed entities, either IICRC or NADCA for carpet or air duct cleaning. And really developing my own technician. But then again, even when you run those general labor ads, you get a lot of people who seem hungry when they show up, a lot of people who seem determined and really want to work. But I would say, 10 or 15% still, maybe 20 as of late, maybe 25, we can say, are really still determined and really can get out there and do it. The others, have really more excuses than they do days working. So, unfortunately, and that's just, and I think maybe it's just because of the type of work we do. It's just construction. I don't know. I guess if I were doing something on a corporate level and we're hiring for a different type of person or a different caliber, I guess you would say, it may be different. But in this industry,
Tim, it's not different. It's not different. Everybody's having difficulty finding quality people right now. They want them to do because everybody knows that it's a highly competitive marketplace, and they need to have people who are the best they can possibly be. And sure. That is a difficult – CEOs of significant middle market companies down to small companies all having difficult time finding the right people and then being able to develop them. So you're not alone in that. And I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us. And I want to thank you for the wonderful customer service that you gave me and our condo association when we asked you to come out. I could go on and on about how good it was, but I just want to say that Albright OC did a great job. You guys did a great job in not only the technical work, but also in servicing, because you came back and did some other things. And you dealt with some people who were disappointed, and they were very happy by the time that you left. So tell us, if somebody wanted to get in touch with Albright OC or get in touch with you, do that.
Well, you could call our toll-free number, 1-800-559-2525.
What's that number again?
1-800-559-2525. Or you can email us at albrightoc.com. And that's actually our website. You can go on there, check us out on our website, and then there'll be an email there if you'd like to contact us as well.
Great. Thanks so much for being with us and being
such a... Thanks for having us. We really appreciate it. Thanks for your business.
You bet. Thank you. A stellar example of a small company, but with high standards and building customer service, teaching people how to treat other people with quality, concern, and all the kind of things that keep people on board and maintain customers. So before we have our next guest, a word from our sponsor.
Large companies with complex sales channels have sophisticated lead management needs. They require customized lead management systems and services and integration with additional systems. That's why, since 1981, these companies have relied on SmartLead by AdTrack, the only full-service lead management company with customized systems for lead management, Salesforce automation, and analytics. These systems are managed by each client's dedicated account manager and are integrated with SmartLead's in-house marketing services that include a contact center, email marketing services, print services, direct mail and fulfillment, and an ISO-certified warehouse. SmartLead by AdTrack. 3 decades of pioneering lead management best practices and systems for complex lead management needs. For more information, visit our website at smartlead.com.
Well, another thing that has begun to be very important in today's market economy is what people do when they're either starting new operations, new businesses, have new ideas, how they go about getting started, how they find a community, how do they get out of their house and into the mainstream of business. On the other hand, people who have been downsized or companies that have been adversely affected by this market economy are shrinking and want to come up with ways to outsource what they're doing to reduce their costs. One of those ways of doing that is brought about by a group of people at Wind Germination, and I want to bring on Virginia Lorimore to talk a little bit about what this whole idea of having communal office might be. So, Virginia, welcome to Pilgrim Talks.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So, tell us a little bit about what Wind Germination does. Tell us how it helps people growing larger at the same time people who have decided to grow smaller.
Well, I think most folks are very familiar with the executive suite model. And essentially, it takes that model and expands it out to a series of different options that are all a la carte and all flat fee that gives people the opportunity to have just the right amount of services for their business, to grow it at a pace that makes sense for their business.
And what might that be like? What is it that you do that's different from an executive suite?
Well, We do things like have a phone assistant service, but instead of charging people by the minute, it's a flat rate fee. We offer things similarly like virtual offices, but instead of limiting them to just a few hours, it actually is a flat rate fee. So, for example, when I started my own business, I signed up with Regis HQ. They told me my office would be $800 a month, and my first bill was
$2,500. $2,500 when you were expecting $800?
Indeed, and then they had me under a 12-month contract.
But it wasn't the same every month, was it? It went back to $800.
Don't I wish. Don't all entrepreneurs wish. And the unfortunate reality is, once they have you under that 12-month commitment, they hold you hostage. And when I try to design Win, I try to look at it from a business owner's perspective. Today's business owners are expected to bootstrap their businesses. They're not able to obtain funding from banks, from angel capitals, from venture capitalists. They have to be able to really fund the business on their own. And when business owners are trying to do everything on their own, they're working crazy numbers of hours. They are maxed out, and it's impossible to do everything on your own. So when we built Win, we built it as a cooperative environment where people support each other, and they do so in an economic environment where not only do we not price gouge, where it is truly a flat fee, but where they also can have an umbrella over them that offers them all of the big protections, the economies of scale, and the benefits of being a Fortune 500 company.
Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. It sounds to me like you're a very flexible operation.
Well, indeed. I don't think there's one solution that fits all businesses or all business needs.
Now, what has been your experience with companies coming in? Are they at arm's length from you? They come in and it's like they rent space from you. They pay their monthly bill and that's all the interaction that you have?
Never. Never, ever. Actually, every month at a minimum, I meet with the businesses that office here once a month. And we just have a basic conversation about how their business is going, what they're stuck on, how we can help guide them. Statistically, and, you know, statistics can be somewhat manipulated, but 95% of small businesses fail. And businesses that are overseen by a CPA succeed at a rate higher than your body temperature, higher than 98.6 degrees. In the period of 6 years that I've been working with entrepreneurs, I've had two entrepreneurs that have taken day jobs. For reasons completely unrelated to me, they were health reasons or they had a death in the family and they couldn't commit themselves to being entrepreneurs. But I essentially have a 99% success rate in helping people get their businesses up and running without having to take on partners and capital.
All right, and the reason that you're talking about CPA is because that's your background, is that right?
It is true.
All right. So your oversight of the company is part of what they receive when they rent space in Win.
It is. Not only do they receive the oversight and the training, they also receive cooperative discounts from the other people who participate here at Win. They receive economies of scale. So just by being a part of our organization, we cooperatively market. We work together in a cooperative fashion that helps their business, helps them gain referrals. Unfortunately, people believe that by working out of their home offices, they're saving themselves money, and that's a fallacy. Your dog, your children, your neighbors, they're not likely to give you a lot of referrals in business. People are more likely to take advantage of your time. If you're a professional and you show up and your client shows up and you're dressed in khakis and a casual shirt, they don't believe that you have the value that you truly have. When you offer them coffee and they sit around and chat with you for half an hour, that time's not billable. So suddenly, for every hour of billable time you have a half an hour of non-billable time. your time becomes something that people don't see as valuable. You cost yourself a lot of money. And then you have the situation where, as a home business, you don't cover your liabilities. We have a program here called, essentially it's an incubator program, but we provide your general liability, your E&O liability. We actually cover the owner with workman's comp, and owners are generally excluded from workman's comp, and a third of all business owners will become injured.
Hmm.
We provide a lawyer on retainer. We provide the phone service. We provide access to the facilities, and the facility has a beautiful training facility for 50 people. So instead of suddenly doing a sales pitch for one person at a time, you can have a coordinated effort where you can have a conversation with 50 people at a time. It includes a conference space. It's really a comprehensive program to make your business look larger than it is, to get the economies of scale that only the big businesses can get. And the goal is to help you compete with the big boys.
So how did you come up with this idea?
Well, let's be honest. I'm a huge geek, Will. I was working on my laptop at 2 o'clock in the morning, as, let's face it, most business owners do. And I was watching PBS and saw a special about how people are moving back to communes en masse. And I thought to myself, you know, it's a very effective way to run a household. If you have people that like watching children, if you have people that like gardening, if you have people that like keeping the house, and you have other folks that have the ability to earn high income, it makes sense. Why not have that same sensible attitude towards businesses? You know, if you have someone that specializes in websites, if you have someone that specializes in marketing, someone who specializes in accounting, bookkeeping, why not put them all together in a cooperative environment where they can help each other, so that instead of trying to have someone who specializes in websites spend 5 hours trying to struggle through their bookkeeping, which is not a good use of their time, everybody works together towards the common goal of the success of every business in the cooperative.
Hmm. Okay. And now, how did you start? Did you just go out and rent a space?
Not exactly. Actually, before I opened this space, I had it 70% pre-sold. I mean, you do have to bear in mind that I'm an accountant, so I'm extremely conservative fiscally. I had already been running a practice consulting with brick-and-mortar facilities for, 6 years before I took on this practice. And I knew that there was a risk. It's a new concept. People are not aware of its benefits. They're often not aware of its existence. And with all new things, there's resistance to change. So I really did the market research up front. I looked to see who my competition was. I don't think people should go into business blindly. I do believe that they need to do their homework first.
And so you had 70% Then you begin to move into your space. What's been the experience so far?
Well, so far I've found that, like most entrepreneurs, I'm very impatient. I would like things to happen overnight, and that's never the case. I've found that business has steadily built over the last year, that it has been a very successful model for us, and that it's been well received by the community. I think it is it's very exciting, and I think it's well-timed. Small business owners are struggling. It's funny. People would say more than ever, but if you look at every decade we've had a recession. Recessions are here to stay. They will always happen. But more millionaires are made in a recessionary economy than any other time. So it really is a great time to start a business, to grow a business, or to put your business in a place where it's appropriate. And if that means to downsize and become virtual, then that's the time to do it.
So tell me a little bit about what you've done to increase the sales, to increase the membership. What have you done to for sales processes?
Well, you know, I'm a CPA, which means I have no training in marketing or sales whatsoever. I have technical skills. I have passion. I have really taken the approach of all I can do is educate people about my product and let them make a buy decision if they're interested. I've worked with some very talented people to create my website. I've been smart enough not to take it on myself. That's part of the concept of having a cooperative, is working with people who have the talent that you don't have. But I think even smarter than that, I've gone with what I believe is smart and measurable goals. If you're attending networking events and you're not measuring the results of those events, then you can't tell whether you're being productive or not. So when I'm out there doing relationship marketing, I measure and record my results. And if I'm not getting results, I don't keep going. So I've tried numerous different BNI, LaTip, Provisors, Vistage, all kinds of different groups. I'm currently a member of BNI, and really that's the only group I attend on a regular basis. There is a tech group called South Coast Venture Network, and I'm looking to sit on their executive committee. There's another tech group called Tech Coast Venture Network, where I do currently sit on the executive committee. And both of those, because we work primarily with professional service providers and high-tech businesses, both of those have been very good for the pipeline. But I have to say that probably the most important thing I've done is put myself in sales training. And none of us likes to think of ourselves as a salesman, but the reality is, we're all selling ourselves every day. And whether you're selling yourself in an interview, whether you're selling yourself to get your child to do what your child needs to do, to your spouse to get your spouse what you want your spouse to do, we're all in the business of sales. And for some reason, I had a very negative perception about sales training. And I saw a gentleman by the name of Scott Bailey, who's a Sandler sales trainer, and I just can't possibly say enough things that are positive about how it has already begun to positively affect my practice. You just don't know what you don't know until you start getting involved in the program.
Uh-huh. So what are some of the things that that you've seen or done differently because of that?
I think the biggest thing for me is I'm a very technical person, and when people ask me technical questions, I answer them. I assume that they want the answer, when the reality is they're expressing fear, and what they want is not to learn the technical answer. What they want is their fear addressed. So I've learned that I need to ask them questions to learn more about them instead of instead of just verbally dumping technological information all over them as though that will solve their fear, because it does not. I think the other most important thing I've learned is that, and I'll think about it, send me a proposal, let's meet again, is 93% no. So now when I get to any of those answers, I say, I sense that you have a concern. Let's talk about it. You know, we're both grown-ups, and I now treat them at a much different level, and I've found that I've been much more successful at closing business as a result of that. And
wonderful.
Every time I learn lessons, it just gives me more and more tools to help my entrepreneurs be more successful. And the whole goal here is to share that knowledge and to share that success with our counterparts. So, you know, I've had two different meetings today where I've said, you know, you guys really need to get involved in a sales training program, because you and I both have the same problem. You're very technical, and you need to learn how to take the technical out of the sales process. So it's obviously something I highly recommend. But business owners make the same mistakes time after time after time. And what we try to do here is to eliminate those mistakes that are repeatedly made by business owners, to eliminate the amount of work that business owners have to do. Literally, I had a conversation last night at SCVN with a business owner who said, it is so frustrating to own my own business because I feel like there's always something I'm forgetting. I'm forgetting to file my taxes. I must be forgetting to file my payroll. I feel like I must have forgotten something. And I feel like I'm always juggling all of these things and something's going to drop and I'm going to end up with a huge penalty. So by being underneath our corporate umbrella, we take care of all of that for you, right down to having a lawyer on retainer. So if something comes up, you're not scrambling to get that big retainer. It takes so much of the fear out of starting your own entrepreneurial organization out of it. And fear is such a huge thing that holds us back, as you might say, head trash.
Mm. All right. Now, so have you found any ways in the past couple of years to significantly reduce costs that you could pass along to other business owners?
To significantly reduce costs? That's an interesting question because I think people are so focused on reducing costs that they're missing the real point. All of my clients, without exception, have made a minimum of 200% bottom line increase in profitability within a year. And it's not necessarily by cutting costs. And sometimes it is. Sometimes you go in and you find out that they're overstaffed, that they are spending money unwisely on marketing. If you're sending out direct mail has a less than 1% response rate. You might as well just flush the money down the toilet. So there certainly are ways that if you are spending money in those fashions, it's just a waste. But more often than not, it's not about money that you are spending that is costing you. It's about money that you are not spending that is costing you.
Okay. What have you done to retain your current clients?
Well, I think client retention is about making certain you have consistent contact with them, that you are really direct and honest, that you have that level of relationship with them, that rapport, where you can say, how's it going for you? How are you feeling about our relationship? Are there things that you need that you're not getting? Are you satisfied? And conversely, I have fired clients because, in my opinion, I would much rather say you're not holding up your end of the bargain. You're not doing the things that you've told me you're going to do, and you're not going to be successful, and I don't need to watch you sink. So, at Wynn, it's really a two-way street. Coming into the business is by invitation only. We only accept entrepreneurs and businesses that are really serious about being successful. And if you're not willing to keep your commitment, then you need to not be here. But conversely, my title is Chief Excellence Officer because we strive to absolutely attain excellence at everything we do, and we're very open and communicative.
All right. Now, to what degree is customer support play a role in your business?
It is absolutely 100% critical. We like to be responsive to any inquiries by our clients within, I say 24 hours, but typically my emails come to my phone and I'm responsive within an hour unless I'm in a meeting. My clients have my cell phone number. They have access to me 24/7. Unless I'm asleep, I definitely draw the line there. The facilities are accessible 24/7. We always work within their needs, whatever those needs are, because without going the extra mile to accommodate what our customers need, then we've essentially become the Regis HQ, and that's not what we want. There is no corporate policy that doesn't allow everyone on my staff to accommodate the customer. And that is their number one objective, to make certain our customers are pleased.
So those people who are on your staff have unique dynamics. On the one hand, they have some very specific customers and the people that write a check to you each month for being in the group. And at the same time, they're also being good customer support people for all the phones that they're answering for all these people in the group. Is that right?
Absolutely. They not only do things like phone, but they greet customers when they come in. We hold large training classes here, and they help to facilitate the training classes that happen here. So they have a lot of tasks, and one of the things that I found is that you need to hire people to the highest common denominator, not to the lowest. It's critically important to get the right people in the right roles, and so many people are very poor at hiring. They sell people on their company instead of making people prove that they're capable of doing the job.
Well, this sounds like a great idea. Virginia, I'm so happy that we have this in Orange County. Now, is it only going to be Orange County? You're only going to have one of these?
Oh, definitely not. Actually, we are looking at our second location. We had initially considered Century City, Manhattan Beach, and because we have such a large training facility and we require ample free parking, it looks like we're moving a little bit south. We're currently now exploring Long Beach. And one of the groups that uses our training facility is BNI, and I think they're a little more excited about Long Beach because they do a lot of training in that area. So I think Long Beach will be our second facility. We're looking to open it in the next 3 to 6 months, and we're accepting waiting lists. One of the things I didn't mention is that we do not overlap categories. So say, for example, we have a bookkeeper who does the books for people within the cooperative, and everyone in the cooperative actively works to recommend that person. We also have referral fee contracts. So if we refer that person, then unless your profession does not allow this caveat, then you receive a commission back, and that commission back could actually pay for your membership in the cooperative. So only one person per category is allowed in. So we carefully interview everybody that we bring in because we're only as strong as our weakest link. So we'll be accepting applications for that Long Beach facility actually beginning now.
Wow.
People can go to our website and apply for that.
Well, thank you very much for taking time out of what must be a very busy day and a very productive day. How would people get in touch with you if they wanted to?
Well, they have two options. They can visit our website, which is www.winopp.com, or they can give us a jingle at the office, which is 949-502-4200.
What's that number again?
It's 949-502-4200.
Well, thank you very much for being with us, Virginia. This has been eye-opening, and what a wonderful facility to have here and to facilitate collaboration and support of each other's business in such a dramatic and real sense.
Well, Will, I really appreciate your time, and thank you for having me. And any of your listeners are welcome to stop into our Irvine Spectrum facility, and we can give them a tour and answer any questions that they might have.
And where is that?
It's in Irvine Spectrum. The address and information is on our website, but if they happen to know where the Irvine Spectrum Costco is, we're right down the street.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. I look forward to talking with you soon.
Excellent. Thank you.
And there we go. Two great companies. One, small, works in a very visceral business, supplying air duct cleaning, working with heating, working with janitorial services for both residences and commercial businesses. but very keenly aware of the value of customer service in retaining clients, in getting new clients, in cross-selling, upselling, maintaining, training very clearly in communication skills, how to deal with difficult people, how to maintain communication with email, telephones, the kind of things that are going to help people not only to feel good, but to feel that this is an outstanding company, generates referrals, generates long-term relationships. And at the same time, hearing a new concept in how to start businesses, how to support businesses, not only an incubator, not just an office-sharing experience, but helping companies to relate to each other, how to collaborate, how to provide leadership for each other and support, all in a common space. And if you had a chance to see where Wynn is at in the spectrum, you would see a beautiful office space. And if you go to their website, you'll get to see some pictures of it. A very, very classy place. All of this because of the ideas that people have in Orange County. And remember, we have great ideas here. We have the support of lots of folks who are helping us. All we have to do is be open to the possibilities that are there. A great place to do business in Orange County. A great place to do business in this country. And thank you very much for being with us today on Pilgrim's Talk. Forward to hearing from you. The holidays, when we will have great CEOs talking about their experience, increasing sales, maintaining their current customers, developing their people, and reducing their costs. So, as a pilgrim on the 405, we'll be looking for a fellow pilgrim as Santa Claus comes across and drops his packages along. We look forward to a brand new year coming up, a strong year for Orange County and for all the CEOs in it. So this is Pilgrim on the 405, wishing you a great holiday. Looking forward to being with you again in the new year.
You've been listening to the one and only Will Criss, the original, the only Pilgrim on the 405. Only on octalkradio.net. Stay tuned for a special edition of the Pilgrim on the 405. You get two for one tonight here as he talks about hosting your own show right here on OC Talk Radio. Coming up right after this.